Yeah. There was no severe weather, whoever to the average, except for kind of a lone gust wind in the bedroom.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome to the French Connections Tuesday edition. It is the seventh day of February, and it's a Tuesday. We've got lots of things to discuss today. We've got a special guest with us today. His name is Eustace Mullins. He's been on my program two times before. Many things have been developing on both on the French Connection and in the world. And we're going to discuss with Eustace some of these developments, and more importantly, what he expects to come here. And we are getting traction unlike any time ever, I think. There are more people waking up to the truth about who is really in charge of things from behind the scenes than has ever been. And it must be stated here at this time that, you know, the work we're doing and the efforts we're making are just... they're just working out, guys. You know, now they're very angry about the successes we've had. First of all, my name is Daryl Bradford Smith. I am the witness, and this is the French Connection. Ladies and gentlemen, my guest today is Eustace Mullins. As I said, he's been a researcher for many, many decades on these subjects and many others. But today, principally, what we're going to talk about is the research that he's been able to do over time, and some of the things he's found to be absolutely factual over time as well. And so I'm going to go right to him now. Eustace, are you with me? Eustace?
Yes.
Welcome, Eustace, to the French Connection. It's great to have you here again.
Oh, glad to be back with you.
Well, here's some of the things I want to touch on today. Of course, we're getting some traction these days, Eustace. We're starting to get the word out, and more people are waking up to the facts around the Zionist conspiracy than ever before. I mean, the groundwork was laid by people like yourself and Ben Friedman and even Bill Cooper and so many others, but it never was able to get traction in the country. How do you explain the traction we're getting, all of the people waking up to this right now? What do you explain that from?
Oh, the tide is turning. See, now, when Boy George took us into the Iraq War because of the neocons to help Israel, it turned the whole world against him.
Yeah.
And it started the thing. It was the worst move they ever made because it's absolutely unjustifiable. And poor George is going to wind up before the Nuremberg trials, plotting and waging aggressive war.
Well, and I think you're right. And then with the events of 9/11 being in question as well.
Oh, it's not a question at all. I think most people are pretty convinced what happened.
Well, we are. We do know what happened, but we were never sure who they did it for until recently.
Oh, yes.
And we know now that, well, who do you think we did this entire thing for, Eustace?
Oh, well, we didn't do anything.
What did they do 9/11 for, and who did 9/11?
Mossad did 9/11 because the New York Times and the Washington Post both ran stories after 9/11 that 87% of all the Muslims in the Middle East believed that this was a Mossad operation because they knew that no Muslims were capable of carrying out such an operation.
Well, I believe that's true. And have you looked into any of the people who participated in 9/11?
Well, I don't know if they ever identified anybody. They said Osama bin Laden did. Of course, he had less to do with that than I had.
Well, I think he was just the boogeyman that they pointed to.
But oh, he's an Al-Qaeda's boogeyman. Al-Qaeda doesn't exist.
Well, it does by the creation of the CIA, Mossad, and MI6.
Oh, yeah, it's part of the World Intelligence Network.
Well, now, how does the MI6 and CIA get away with betraying the United States without the rest of the government becoming aware of it?
Well, MI6 and the British Secret Service have always been arms, not of the British government, but of the Bank of England and the Rothschilds. That's why they're an independent government themselves. They have very little to do with the British people or the British government.
And how about our CIA? Are they bought and paid for by the Zionists as well?
Oh, yes. They were set up in my book, The World Order. I give them the founding fathers of the CIA in World War II. And it was all set up in England by the British General Staff. Lord Mountbatten, Charles Hambrough, the Jewish banker, and three other members of the British General Staff. The Americans had nothing to do with the CIA. It was called the OSS in World War II. It later became the CIA. But the Americans had practically nothing to do with it.
Well, Well, I do have a question regarding people such as Ray McGovern, who actually, on my program, he has been coming out and saying, in no uncertain terms, that these events were on behalf of Israel and by them. I mean, he's
That's
27.
Exactly true.
Well, he's 27 years CIA.
Oh yes. Well, if you're in the CIA, you know that automatically. Anyway, they all know it, but they never mention it.
Well, he's finally mentioning it. What would you say explains him mentioning it? He just seeing the country going down the tubes and doesn't want that to happen.
Well, I think the Lusitania is going down. He wants to get a life raft somewhere.
Ah. Well, you know, here's the interesting thing. Now, we talked privately just before this interview about a man named Bill Cooper down in New Mexico, who they...
Oh, an old friend of mine.
Yeah, they murdered Bill. And one of the things I noticed when I read Bill's work yesterday, and Eustace, I apologize, it was yesterday for the first time.
Really?
Yes, it was. I've only been doing this stuff for a year, Eustace.
Oh, I see.
And now here's the interesting thing. My research brought me to where I am today with this knowledge, independent of both yourself and Bill Cooper. In other words, all three of us came to the same conclusion independently.
Well, that's very good. And
well, it is very good.
Have too.
I mean, it's irrefutable that I arrived at the Zionists based upon my research. And when I read Bill Cooper's work, it was almost identical to what I believed. And I said, this man years ago was brought to the same conclusions I've been brought to. And I'm wondering, how come Bill couldn't get traction back in that time? And we know they murdered him, but what was the real reason they got rid of him? Is it because he was starting to get an audience for his information?
He was getting an audience, and he was well-respected, and he was building a reputation. Bill was a hard worker, and he worked all the time. He and I were in London together for a meeting some years ago, and we had a great time over there.
Well, you know, the last time we were on the radio together, we discussed Ben Friedman, and we discussed Myron Fagan.
Oh, yeah.
But they're really wonderful researchers to set up for the truth. They don't necessarily tell the details of present-day America and present-day what things that are happening in the world. So what do you think is going on right now? Are they interested in a government centered out of Israel, out of Jerusalem?
Well, that's the idea. That's what the State of Israel is set up for. That's the ancient crossroads of the world. And, of course, we have our troops now in ancient Babylon, back by Baghdad, which is... everything is coming full circle right now.
Well, the interesting thing they said in Bill's book was that, and this is where it parallels with my research, it comes down to a group of rabbinical handlers working around a figurehead Messiah.
Oh, yes.
And that's exactly what Bill said years ago. And, you know, that's the place we've been brought to as well. And when I came to that conclusion, I thought it was so outlandish and so ridiculous that I couldn't even start to fathom what that was the actual fact. And I started really investigating those facts. And, yes, in fact, it comes out of the Ashkenazi Jewish sect. And it comes out of the beginnings were, I guess, in the Frankist era, but have moved along through time into a very Kabbalistic and very it's a Talmudic tradition and a Zohar tradition. Am I right?
Oh, exactly. And it's based on numerology and all sorts of Kabbalistic tricks.
Now, does that stuff have any validity in your mind? I mean, you know, I've had people talk to me, Eustace, that said to me that these people can actually do some of the stuff that's claimed, and I thought it was bunk.
Oh, it's absolute bunk. They really claim to be able to do black magic, and they can't do a damn thing. What it is a carnival sideshow for the suckers.
That's what I thought it was, too, and I called it booga booga.
That's exactly what it is. So, but they try to intimidate people into believing that they can do all this black magic, and it's not true. They've never been able to do it. If they had, we wouldn't even be here.
Well, can I ask you another question? I know that the American government has been very active in creating these false stories about UFOs and they're behind this whole UFO movement, aren't they?
Oh, yes. Well, it's all part of terrorism because they like to terrify the people that these aliens are going to come swoop down from Mars and take over the planet next week, so there's nothing anybody can do about it.
So anybody with a brain who's looked into this and who continues to promote UFO stuff is either off their rocker or part of a disinformation squad.
Well, my audience used to ask me if I'd ever seen a UFO, and I said, no, I have never seen one, and neither has anyone else.
I love you, Eustace. You're the best. You know something, Eustace? You and I have parallel thoughts here. I mean, everything. And what I've been doing, trying to get people away from some of the sites that UFO stuff is on, have been mixing some truth with their UFOs. In other words, they're putting UFO information along with some accurate information to create a straw man system where they can deny the whole thing as being real.
Well, that's the oldest trick of the book. Give you a little bit of sugar with the medicine, you know.
Well, it seems to have worked for many people. And
it works on just about everybody.
Well, it hasn't worked on me. Why is that, Eustace?
Well, I think you and I have a strain of native common sense that can be touched, and that's what brings us through.
Well, I think you're probably right about that, because as I told you, I started my investigation a year ago knowing almost nothing. And it brought me to where I am today, and one of the things that happened when I was on the radio last week was I began to mention a group of Kabbalists, a specific group, and boy, when I did that, all hell broke loose.
Oh, yeah.
For me and for others, and that was this group called the Shabbat Lubavitch.
Oh, yes.
Now, what do you know about the Shabbat Lubavitch?
Very little, because, you know, they work behind the scenes. They stay out of sight. You only hear about the Lubavitch is up in the New York area and in Israel itself sometimes, but they don't have any public relations agents whatsoever.
Are they the real guys, the real people behind the throne?
Oh, yeah. They're the manipulators. They pull the strings.
And even with the bankers, the banking arm is what I've discovered is that the banking arm of the Rothschilds and the banking arm of Warburg and even the Federal Reserve is the political arm, and then these rabbis are the kind of the brains behind it or the spiritual arm, and there's kind of two camps within this hydra here. It's a two-headed hydra, I think.
Oh, yes, it's a two-headed hydra.
Well,
they have different functions throughout the system, but they're all working. And they managed to work together.
They have managed to work together, and there is truth somewhere that they've created the CFR, Council on Foreign Relations. They've created the Illuminati group. They've actually supported Freemasonry over time. But those are just sub-organizations of these people, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, they're different manifestations, but they're all working toward the same goal.
Now, do the people in those organizations, by and large, know the goal?
I don't think any of them know anything, Council on Foreign Relations. I've never heard that anybody at the Council on Foreign Relations really knows anything about anything.
Well, how could it be?
Figureheads.
How could it be that a guy like myself, after a year, would end up at the truth, and people who've investigated this for many years don't get there? I have to wonder if these people are actually investigating, or are they just covering up?
That's cover-ups. Because if you really investigated, you'd be absolutely sure to find out something eventually. But these people never find out anything. CFR and Illuminati and so forth, they'll never reveal any of their discoveries to anybody.
Now, here's the interesting thing, too. George Bush displays all these signs of mysticism with his waving to the crowd with the devil horn thing, and
Don't hide laws and all those things. Yeah.
Well, what is this? I mean, this devil wave that all these elites do, does it mean anything, or is it just a nonsense?
Well, I think it's a sacred signal for the Gnostics, the people who know, and you can give them certain signs, and they know that you know, and that's it.
And is George a part of the crew, or is he one of the Noahide people? He's a Gentile, isn't he?
Well, he's supposed to be a Gentile, but he's related to the British throne. And it's pretty well established that his family has been in occult operations for 500 years.
Well, because he's involved in that, does that make him eligible to be spared by these organizers when they bring the the curtain down on what goes on?
When things get to a certain stage, nobody's going to be spared. They have to get rid of everybody.
And who's going to be left standing? Just the Jewish group?
Just the insiders, the real insiders. You see, I've told the audiences for years that the Harriman family was lackeys of the Rothschilds,
yeah,
and that the Bush family was lackeys of the Harrimans. And that's the whole story. These are just lackeys. They don't matter. They'll get rid of them anytime they feel like it.
I wonder sometimes, Eustace, you know, I've got over 150 files out on the Internet. Many of them touch the truth very, very pointedly. And does that insulate me in any way from their attack, or at least a little bit?
It does somewhat. You see, people used to wonder why I was killed years ago because I exposed the old Federal Reserve bracket. And the answer was that if they killed me, said that I'd already put the word out. If they killed me after the fact, it would only publicize my work even more.
Well, I've come to that conclusion as well here because...
Yeah, there's a certain insulation that you get from that. So it's just as well to take a very forward position and hold it.
Well, I know that holding it is the key here, and I also know that I've actually grown in numbers from leaving Genesis than actually shrinking. And that's an interesting fact because I believe the country and the world are hungry for these facts.
Well, everybody's hungry for the facts. And that's the reason that my books lasted over everybody, because nobody else was telling the truth. They were giving them little glimmers of the truth. But you can't live on glimmers. You've got to have the whole truth. And that's what I always try to give people.
Well, you can trust me, Eustace, to do the whole deal. Because
sure
you know what? I got the story. I'm giving it to the public, and I got to tell you something. It's a dangerous game. They've been threatening my other guests not to come on my programming. They've actually, I'm certain, have done things to some of my researchers. That's the only thing that could explain some of the bizarre reactions I've been getting from people. I'm wondering, you know, what they must be planning to something quite soon because they're actually looking like they're panicking.
I think they are panicking because for the first time they see the light going out at the end of the tunnel.
Well, you know, it's because of the efforts of people like you setting the stage for this, Eustace, and I got to tell you.
Well, we've been working a long time, and it's really beginning to pay off.
You know, are there places in the world who are on our side quite convincingly, or are they in command almost everywhere?
No, I think that all over the world, there's people on our side, and people have always been on our side. That's why America's always been a beacon light of freedom to the entire world, because everybody knew, and they never questioned it, that this is the land of liberty. And that's why the Zionists had to come over here and take it over.
Well, they have, haven't they, though?
Oh,
they've done us in, haven't they?
They've done us in, but if we survive this, we can survive anything.
Well, I know that their plans are to eliminate massive numbers of people. They have a population reduction strategy because we are considered Esau or Goyim, and we are less than these people.
And oh, yes.
Is that their goal?
Oh, yes, that's animals, to reduce us all to animals. You know, George Orwell's one of his most famous books was Animal Farm.
Yeah.
He was reflecting this philosophy in that book.
Well, interesting. When I noticed that these people actually, have the nerve in our country to call criticism of certain people in the Jewish community anti-Semitism, when 90% of the Jewish community of Ashkenazis are not even Semitic.
Oh no, they're Turco Edomites and Khazars, and that's it. They have no roots in the land of. The present land that is called Israel whatsoever.
And so the promised land that God promised the Israelites was never promised to these people.
Well, nobody's ever seen the contract, and we don't know whose name is on it.
Well, I have to agree with that as well. But, you know, here's the thing, though. They have such control over news and can exert so much control over leadership. What is your guess on how they've been able to do that? My guess is, and maybe you can mirror this or expand on it, is they have used they could get people compromised early in their careers. Let's say...
Oh, yeah, it's called a Panama, after the Panama Canal. They involve you in a scandal early in your career, and then they control you the rest of your career.
And it could be sexual, it could be financial, it could be anything, but they...
It could be anything, yeah. But the way they control them now, they're into everything. It's sexual, and it's alcohol and drugs and everything. They do it all.
And these, a lot of the child pornography and whatnot is from these people as well, isn't it?
Oh, pedophilia? Pedophilia is one of the biggest rackets in the world. You know, Father Flanagan's Boys Town was actually the headquarters for pedophilia in the United States for many years. It became the most lucrative charity and philanthropy in the United States because so many millionaires were pouring money into it.
Really?
Oh, yes. They were flying planes all over the United States, flying planes of boys to entertain politicians and millionaires.
Why does that make me so... I feel vomitous just to hear you say those things.
Well, it's so shocking. And to think that so many young lives are being destroyed like this, it's enough to blow your mind.
Well, this is one of the reasons why most people can't wrap their brain around this conspiracy and the fact that they would be involved in pedophilia or they would be involved in a world takeover of these people. Because it's such a big conspiracy, Eustace, how do we shrink this conspiracy down to the common man size so they can start digesting just how dangerous things really are?
Well, we can't shrink it down, but we've got to make people realize the enormity of the situation. I mean, I was just a little country boy, and I went to Washington and New York and Los Angeles, and I saw all this life at first hand. And it never fazed me. It was shocking, but it never got me down at all. I was never depressed by it.
Well, I'm not depressed by it. I am feeling the urgency of the hour here to get this information out because I do know they are getting backed into a corner, and when you corner a nest of rats, they have a tendency to strike out.
Well, rabid wolves can be very dangerous.
I think you're right, and, you know, here's the other side of it. I believe we're going to defeat these people handily. It won't come in a bloodless way, I don't believe. So what do you see coming in the future here, Eustace?
Well, I see the whole situation tensing quite a bit, but I'm not worried about it because I feel like, you know, after all I've seen at first hand, I feel like the American people are still sound. It's incredible, but our genetics are still intact. It's a basic situation.
Well, you know, I think you're a very encouraging soul here, Eustace, because from what I've gathered, America is becoming less and less capable and cognizant of their world around them as a result of being poisoned by fluorides and aspartames and monosodium glutamates and mercury. And these are all intentional acts by this same group, aren't they?
Oh, they certainly are. Well, the integrating of the American school system in 1954 really was the end of education in the United States.
Yeah.
There's been no education since 1954.
Well, and so once they got control of education, then they started introducing inoculations to children. They started demanding that they take certain medications that were obviously harmful in retrospect.
Well, they were well known to be harmful. And so children were being sent to school by their parents, and the school nurse would give them these poisonous injections. You know, my book on the history of the AMA is called Murder by Injection. Because murder by injection is the whole story.
And what are they trying to do, weaken our resistance to disease or destroy our longevity or just to make us sick as a general population?
Well, all three, because it's all intended to lower your resistance and your will to resist.
Well, I also know that fluoride was used during the Nazi era to reduce the intellect of people it was administered to.
Oh, yes, and communism did the same. You see, all the isms, communism, fascism and Nazism were practically the same thing. They were all started by the Rothschilds in Germany in 1938.
Well, but what I was talking about, though, is that they were using fluoride as a dumbing-down agent.
Oh, yeah, because it affects the central nervous system and the immune system.
And didn't that, they knew this in Germany because they were administering it to large masses of people that they were holding and they knew it had a very strong effect on people's intelligence.
Well, Stalin was using the same thing at the concentration camps in Russia, because he found out that by giving fluoridated water to the prisoners, he could run his camps with one-third of the number of guards that he had formerly needed to control the people.
And, of course, you know that the water systems in the United States are being bought up by none other than Suez Lyonnais des Eaux and by a company called, what's the name? It begins with a V. Not Vivendi anymore. They changed their name. But they're both of these companies are owned, guess who? Rothschild money.
Oh, yes.
And they bought the company called U.S. Filter, which was America's largest water distribution company. And they distribute water in most of the large cities in the United States today.
Oh, yeah. Well, and they're training the people to drink bottled water because they're saying that the public water systems are no good. And so the people are being trained to drink bottled water, and the bottled water is simply tap water, bottled and sold as bottled water.
Oh, boy. The tangled web they weave. Now, as we come out of this fog and begin to wake up to the facts as we've been understanding them for some time now, what do you think is going to happen first? Is it going to be a financial situation, or is it going to be something in a different vein, Houston?
Well, the financial situation is very simple. You know, my audiences have been asking me for 50 years at my lectures to say, when is the collapse coming? And I would tell them always the same thing. I'd say, the collapse will come when the government stops printing counterfeit money. And, of course, they haven't quit yet, so the crash isn't here yet.
But isn't there a point which, I mean, I know that they stopped even reporting the M3, which you and I both know means that's the amount of money and credit in circulation. And what it is a real aggregate number of what they've been printing. And so if they've gotten rid of this now, first time in history, that bodes poorly for the future as far as I know.
Well, that means there is no future. This system doesn't have a future. It's over.
Well, I mean, do you think America is going to have to be reborn in a different, completely different, package? I mean, look, we've come too far and slipped too far over time to just fix what's in front of us. I think we have to do a do-over.
Well, we had a very simple, and in the 19th century, we had a very simple economic system in the United States. It was called two-name paper. I mean, yeah, I borrow $20 to you, and I gave you a note for the $20. There's my name and your name on it. That's what they call two-name paper. You see, the Jews got into the international acceptance market where they were trading debt all over the world. And that's what they're doing today. When you take out a mortgage, it will line up in Austria or Israel or anywhere. You don't know who owns it. But everybody makes money off of it. And that's called international acceptance. And you see, the whole Federal Reserve System was created by Paul Warburg at the Jekyll Island Conspiracy in 1912. And he was the chairman of the International Acceptance Corporation. So he was the master of acceptance is all over the world, and he's the man who single-handedly created the whole Federal Reserve System.
Well, I know he did it with Schief in tow, didn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, all of these things that we've discussed, they've been repeated on this broadcast many times by other people, including researchers that I've had. And in fact, Europe is more awake about these facts than we are in America. Isn't that not true?
Well, they've been trying to straighten out the monetary system in Europe ever since the Rothschilds took over in 1800. And Ezra Pound, you know, came out of Europe, and he was educated in Europe, and he brought all that back to me. And so they have tried to introduce sane money systems in various countries in Europe. In fact, that was the whole idea of World War II, was that Germany and Italy wanted to get out of the central bank system, the Zionist international system. And that's why they had to be attacked and destroyed. There's no ideology behind it at all. It's purely financial.
Well, you know, it killed 57 million people, Eustace.
Well, it killed probably 100 million.
Well, during the last century, they killed 100 million, but that war alone, that one conflict was 57 million.
Oh, yeah.
and untold losses of health and of life's work and of happiness. And just when are we going to, as a race of creatures, going to rise above this sickness? I mean, it's going to come by waking up to the people spreading the sickness.
It's going to come by necessity. People have to rise to the occasion. They have to understand what's going on, and they'll have to know what to do about it.
Well, I know what to do about it. I mean, I'm first of all, that we the whole thing is everything that I can see has gone wrong in the last 200 years has been at the hands of these people.
It is. You know, it's so easy to trace when you get into it. It's walking down the open road. Everything's
so
right there in front of you.
What kind of world could we have had without these people ruining it for us, Eustace?
Well, we could have had a paradise, a golden age, because with America in the 19th century, we were ready to lead the entire world into the golden age, and these guys got in there and wrecked the whole thing.
Yeah.
In fact, there had never been a world war in the history of the world, but we had two world wars in the 20th century.
Well, I think what they've got planned for us, if they were able to get it, finished, would be much worse than the last century.
Oh yes, they intend to intensify. I have said for over 2 years that this is World War III that's going on right now, and that was all predicted, you know, at the Zionist International Conference in 1896 in Basel, Switzerland. They said we're going to have World War I, World War II, and finally World War III, which will bring everything into our hands.
And your guess right now is that they're not winning.
They're not winning. World War III started out as a fiasco because World War II was simply a rerun of World War I. There was nothing new in it. And it didn't work out very well for anybody. And World War III started out as a fiasco, but it's got worse every day.
Well, there's so much disinformation out there. What would you recommend to my listeners Americans today, many of them like to be spoon-fed information. And I've always urged them to look into these things themselves, but I don't think the majority of people will ever take me up on that recommendation. So how do we get more of the masses tuned into this truth, Eustace? I know I've been doing a heck of a job with it because I'm looking at the numbers. They're starting to really grow.
Oh, yeah, people really want to know.
Well, how do we make it really blossom?
Well, it's going to blossom of itself because of the need of people to have it. Because there was an old saying that it's fun to be fooled, but it's more fun to know. And the American people are going to wake up someday and find out that it's more fun to know what's going on than it is to be fooled by it.
Well, I think we can thank our imbecile, unelected president, George W. Lincoln.
Oh, he's perfect.
He's the biggest gift to humanity in the history of mankind.
Yeah, he probably is there solely for the purpose of ushering out this whole crooked deal.
Yes, but it backfired because he was too stupid.
Oh, yeah, he was too stupid to do the job.
You know,
I mean, when people start world wars, you got to have people who know what they're doing.
And this guy, I mean, he is a bungler from the first to the last, and it's just astonishing. However, that's enough said about that. You know, Eustace, I want to thank you for coming on. We've done about 35, 40 minutes here of continuous talk, and I want to let you know this. I'm carrying on in your tradition.
Good.
I've picked up from where you've left off, and I've got to tell you, there aren't a lot of me around.
Oh, I'm sure of that. I'm well aware of that.
Well, the fact is, I'm hoping to get some assistance at some point from some other courageous people, and at least maybe some donations from them. This is one of the things I've asked for. I said, well, if you can't help me yourself, at least give me $5 and let me get some. Advertising out there and spread this around a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I can't do it all, and my partner, Eric, and I, you know, here's the interesting thing. We're just two guys with a beat-up computer. I don't even have a printer at home here, Eustace. And my partner's just a guy with a printer and a computer system, and we've been able to do so much damage to these fools, just the two of us. It's almost astonishing.
Well, they're stuck with the old P.T. Barnum situation. There's a sucker born every minute. And they've continued this carnival sideshow right through the 21st century, and it's all catching up to them now, because sideshows, you can only pull the same act on the yokels for so many times. They finally even have catch on.
Well, I think you're absolutely right with that. Anyway, I want to say to you that I'm grateful for your assistance, for your research that you've done, and just for you being you. You are truly a world treasure, and I consider someone like you a dear friend and a hard worker for the truth. And I will be contacting you very soon. We can maybe talk about some other issues or whatnot.
Oh, there's lots to talk about.
Well, the next time we get on the radio, maybe I'll have a couple of new subjects to add into the mix. And I want to thank you for coming on the French Connection today.
It's always a pleasure to be on your show.